Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Philip Nicolai wrote the German from which the English is translated into, O morning star, how fair and bright! You shine with God's own truth and light, aglow with grace and mercy. Of Jacob's race, King David's son, our Lord and Master, you have won our hearts to serve you only. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, all victorious, rich in blessing, rule and might over all possessing. You are gathered in your church on a Friday that is not Good Friday, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that you took the time on this Friday night, when it was a little bit colder than it was yesterday, to come out and hear the Word of God proclaimed. I'm thankful because this is exactly where God desires you to be. This hymn that we just sang is a beautiful confession of the truth. A truth that by the end of our lives we may never fully comprehend, but in the life that is to come, we will. Jesus is both fully God and yet fully man. Our fallen human reason cannot comprehend that, and yet we confess it, yet we believe it, because the Bible tells me so. And really, that's a good reason to do anything. If the Bible tells us something, we are called to believe it. Because after all, the Holy Spirit is much smarter than I am, and much smarter than you are. If you struggle to comprehend something, give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I do not understand this in my fallen human reason. Because of Adam's sin, I cannot fully comprehend you. But I know that your word is the truth. Your word is the life. And your word took on flesh to be my Savior. He came to this earth as a baby. He humbled himself to take on flesh in the womb of a virgin, and after 9 months he was born. And I think, quite honestly, we know that story very well. We know the story of Luke 2. We just recently celebrated it. The angels go and proclaim the news to the shepherds, those fringe Jewish members of the community. But you've also heard me time and time again mention why it is important that we have an Epiphany service. If you are like me, you were not born a Hebrew. You were probably a Gentile. Your blood did not come through the line from Abraham. And very much so, Epiphany is that celebration for the rest of us. No, we were not Jewish by birth. We did not have that old covenant. Rather, we came from outside of that covenant. But that baby was born for the Jew and for the Gentile. For the Hebrews who had confessed it from generation to generation, and to the Gentile who long after Noah gave up that faith. To the fathers who refused to teach the truth to their sons and their daughters. Jesus Christ has come for them too. And I think it's a very comforting story. The fact is, whether you are the most devoted Lutheran that there ever was, or whether you are a fringe member where maybe you only come once or twice a year, Jesus has come for you. And yes, my desire is, as God's desire, that you would believe this so very fervently that you would not be found on that fringe, but rather that you would find every opportunity to worship him each and every Sunday and each and every weekday service that we hold. Yes, that is my desire, because in all honesty, you can never get enough Jesus. You can never hear his word to the point where you grow tired of it. Jesus is the light. He is the life. He is the Word incarnate. He is the salvation. He is the King above all kings. And our text very clearly shows us that. It is often joked, why on earth would these men bring these sort of gifts? I've heard it time and time again. If they were wise women, they would have brought more practical gifts. But the fact is that these gifts are not designed for just some average baby. No, these gifts are designed for the King of all creation. These gifts are designed for Jesus. For he is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the King of kings. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh are not practical gifts for a baby, but they are absolutely appropriate gifts for the king. Incense had long been used in worship. God had commanded it in the Old Testament, long before there was ever a pope in Rome. God's people burned incense. The prayers of the saints rose before him on that sweet-smelling aroma. We see that incense being burned for eternity in the new heavens. We see that glimpse. We see that God hears our prayers. The words of Psalm 141, "Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Words that we sing every time we gather under Vespers. Incense is a sweet-smelling aroma to the high priest, to the prophet who proclaimed the true word of God. Gold is a very fitting and proper thing to be given. This is a king. Remember when Solomon built the temple, that all of it was then laid over in gold. God's house is not designed to look like just another building. God's house is a holy dwelling place. God's house is the place where heaven meets earth. This is the throne room of God Almighty. It should be set apart. It should look different. It should be gorgeous. A true beauty. An objective beauty. Because this is the closest that we get to heaven until he returns, or until he calls us to himself. And so these magi, these magicians or astrologers, or there's varying levels of what people claim about these men, they see the star up in the heavens. And even there is disagreement and dispute. Is this a natural star? After all, God could have done that. He is the one who knit each and every star into the heavens. They declare his handiwork. Sure, this could have been one of those natural stars. This could have been a comet. This could have also been an angel. But the fact is that no matter what it was, it had been created by the Almighty Creator, and it proclaimed the birth of the Savior. That light would shine to these wise men from the east, and they would follow that star to worship the newborn king. They would go to where the king should be born, in Jerusalem, in the palace. But a fraud was there. Herod, a man who despised anyone that might tempt his power. And so they go and they say, "We have seen the star that proclaims the birth of the king." And Herod tells a lie. He says, "Go and find this king and let me know so that I can go and worship him too." All the while, he has other plans. This is a man that so craved his own power that he was willing to kill to keep it. He would order the onslaught of baby after baby throughout the region of Bethlehem just for fear of losing his own kingship. And it's terribly tragic that 2,000 years, in a nation that once called itself Christian, that devoted itself to Jesus Christ, would be in the same boat as Herod. That we would be able, or that we would be willing to sacrifice to keep our own power, to keep our own authority, to keep all the money, all the goods that we have. That we would sacrifice even the lives of children to maintain all of these earthly things that we care about more. Herod was a wicked man, and he would see death and judgment. May repentance come to our nation, to our world, that we may praise Jesus, that we may recognize that this child was born to save the Jew and the Gentiles. Our text tells us that the wise men go, and unlike almost every nativity scene that I ever have seen, they go to the place where that star is now. And the text is very clear. It says that they entered the house where the mother was with her child. The wise men are not at the stable. They are at a house. They enter that house. Jesus could have been all the way up to 2 years old. However, I would guess, and I don't try to guess too often, I would rather simply state what the scriptures say, that he was probably one or a little bit younger. But because Herod orders the murder of all of those baby boys, two and under, we at least know that he was under the age of two. These wise men find themselves in this little child, in this presence of this little child, and they fall down before him. We are no more worthy outside of Christ to come before him as those magi were. And we will fall down this very night, those who are able, to receive him. That the body and blood that were born in Bethlehem, the body and the blood that were there being worshipped by the Magi that day, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ upon that cross on Calvary for the sins of you and for me and for the whole world, we will receive that body and blood. We will worship Jesus. We have followed the star. It is fitting that the star for our wise men set is directly where we still seek him. Right here in his house, front and center in the altar. For in this sacrament, Jesus comes. And he says, "Receive me. Receive my body. Receive my blood, that you may be forgiven, that I may wash over you, that you may have a part with me, that you may be made clean." These wise men come to worship the King. And we do the same this very night. And on Sunday, we will gather to do it once again and every week after. We bring maybe not gold, frankincense, and myrrh, even though it would be very fitting and proper to use incense for our worship. We bring instead our hearts. We lay them at the foot of the cross and we say, "Lord, take this heart of stone and place instead a heart of living flesh, a heart that beats for you." St. Gregory the Great, in his commentary on this, had this to say: "There is something more than must be understood about the gold, incense, and myrrh. Solomon testifies that gold symbolizes wisdom when he says, 'A pleasing treasure lies in the mouth of the wise.' The psalmist bears witness to that incense which prayer offers to God when he says, 'Let my prayer ascend as incense in your sight.' The myrrh indicates the mortification of our bodies, of which the Holy Church speaks of its workmen who strive even unto death on behalf of God. My hands dripped with myrrh. And so do we too offer gold to the newborn king if we shine in his sight with the brightness of the wisdom from on high. We too offer him incense if we enkindle on the altar of our hearts the thoughts of our human minds by our holy pursuit of prayer, so as to give forth a sweet smell to God by our heavenly desire. And we offer him myrrh if we mortify the vices of our bodies by our self-denial." Children of God, we approach the Lord, the one who is holy even when we are not, the one who is sinless even in our sins, and we acknowledge him. We confess him to be the Lord, the salvation of all mankind. This very night, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, even if not a part of that old covenant, acknowledging that we are under the new covenant, that we have been made sons of Abraham by faith, by the waters of holy baptism. We sing this, we confess this, and we tell the world. And we sing. What joy to know when life is past, the Lord we love is first and last. the end and the beginning. He will one day, O glorious grace, transport us to that happy place, beyond all tears and sinning. Amen, amen, come Lord Jesus, crown of gladness, we are yearning for the day of your return. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.